Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed to be awake this morning. I was sleeping real. Can I say that? All in real good. Sleeping good when you're dreaming, and your dream is just off the wall. And I was one of those crazy people that the show just before I went to sleep, and I was writing the show all through my dreams. Really wild stuff, but I'm grateful to be awake, to be a child of God, grateful to have my co-host back this morning. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you today?
Good morning, Pastor. I'm doing good.
Turning it over to Mother Valerie this morning, and she'll be coming out of 2 Samuel chapter 15 to chapter 16, and I'll be back with you guys with Psalms, the 66th Psalm, verses 8 through 15, Proverbs chapter 16, 27 through 30, and John chapter 7. So I turn it over to our host this morning, Mother Valerie. I'll be back. I am so grateful, Mother, to have you on this morning. I pray all is well with you and yours. And our title for this morning, as we go through our word, is Fight All Your Battles on Your Knees. Changes all kinds of things. I believe that in my heart. I believe it in my spirit that our battles, these battles that we have, are not ours. They are the Lord's. Because so many times, I have no idea that the battle we're fighting is a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. And the enemy is doing everything and throwing everything at you. It's like you feel like you... Okay, Lord, I thought this situation was handled. And then the situation not only comes back, but it comes back with seven more problems with it because it's a demonic attack. And we must understand that the only way to fight a spirit is on your knees. So we got to learn how to fight our knees, giving it over to God, letting God handle your problems today. And your problems tomorrow, and your problems the next day. Because the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So fight all your battles, family. If you get nothing else out of today's lesson, just remember to fight all your battles on your knees. Prayer changes all kinds of things. Mother Valerie, amen. I turn it over to you this morning.
Good morning, God's people. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. I thank and praise God for who he is. I thank and praise God for forgiveness of all sins, knowingly and unknowingly. I thank and praise God for answering prayer. I thank and praise God for another day that he woke us up in our right mind. And we just want to praise the Lord. We want to do what he says to do. We want to be obedient and do what the Lord says to do. We want to go to the throne and not to the phone. And God, help us to praise you and give you glory in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm coming out of 2 Samuel 15 and 1, 16 and 23. After this, it happened that Absalom provided himself with chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now, Absalom would rise early, stand beside the way to the gate. So it was, whenever anyone who had a lawsuit came to the king for a decision, Absalom would call to him and say, "What city are you from?" And he would say, "Your servant is from such and such, a tribe of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "Look, Your case is good and right, but there is no deputy of the king to hear you. Moreover, Absalom would say, oh, that I was made good in the land, and everyone who has any suit or cause would come to me. Then I would give him justice. And so it was, whenever anyone came near to bow down to him, that he would put his hand and take him and kiss him. In this manner, Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. It came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said to the king, please let me go to Hebron and pay the vow which I made to the Lord. For your servant took a vow while I dwelt at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord indeed brings me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. King said to him, go in peace. So he rose and went to Hebron. Then Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebrew. And with Absalom went 200 men invited from Jerusalem, and they went alone innocently and did not know anything. Then Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gittite, David's counselor from his city, from Gilo, where he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy grew strong, for the people were with Absalom continually increased in number. Now a messenger came to David, saying, hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom. So David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, arise, let us flee, or we shall not escape from Absalom. Absalom is David's son, and he was making himself, you know, over all the people. So David had to flee. Him and his wife and his people that were with him had to flee. He said, make haste to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring disaster upon us, strike the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servant said to the king, we are your servants, ready to do whatever my lord the king commands. Then the king went out with all his household after him. Isn't that amazing? The king was fleeing from Absalom, his only son. Not only son, but his son. But the king left 10 women, concubines, to keep the house. And the king went out with all the people after him, stopped at the outskirts. Then all his servants passed before him, and all the Chirinites, all the Pitnites, and all the Gittites, 600 men who had followed him from Gath, passed before the king. King said to Ithiel the Gittite, why are you also going with us? Return and remain with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile from your own place. In fact, you came only yesterday. Did I make you wander up and down with us today? Since I go, I not know where. Return and take your brother back. Mercy and truth be with you. But Ithiel answered the king and said, as the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, surely in whatever place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also your servant will be. David said to Ittai, go and cross over. Then Ittai, the Gittite, and all his men, all the little ones who were with him, crossed over. All the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people crossed over. The king himself also crossed over the brook Kidron, and all the people crossed over toward the way of the wilderness. Isn't that amazing? David was running from Absalom. If he hadn't ran, Absalom would have killed his own father. He would have killed him. So all the people wept with a loud voice, and all the people crossed over. King himself also crossed over with the brook Kidron, and all the people crossed over towards the way of the wilderness. Now there was Zadok also, and all the Levites with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. They set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had finished crossing over from the city. Then the king said to Zadok, carry the ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and show me both it and his dwelling place. But if he says thus, I have no delight in you, here I am. Let him do to me as seems good to him. thinking also said to Zodok the priest, are you not afraid? Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimelech the son and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I will wait in the plains of the wilderness until word comes from you to inform me. Therefore, Zodok and Abiathar carried the ark of God back to Jerusalem, and they remained there. David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept. He cried, he wept, because of what Absalom, his son, was doing to him. David went up to the Mount of Olives and wept as he went up. And he had his head covered and went barefoot. All the people who were with him covered their heads, went up weeping as they went up. Then someone told David, saying, Abithishel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, oh, Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Turn it, the counsel of whatever Ahithophel say, make it be foolishness. That's something that Absalom wanted to kill his own father. He had stole the hearts of everybody that had a case. They would bring it to Absalom, and he had stole the hearts of the people. Life lesson, 2 Samuel 15:25. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, this is David speaking, if I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he'll bring me back and show me both it and his dwelling place. David had learned to trust in grace and mercy of the Lord, even though he did not know what laid ahead for him. God assumes full responsibility for our needs when we obey God. Even when we don't understand, a lot of times we don't understand what God is doing. But if we're faithful and just do what God say do, when you know that it's God speaking to you, God assumes full responsibility for our needs when we obey him. Do what God tell you to do, even when you don't understand. Life lesson, 2 Samuel 15:6. So Absalom stole the heart of the men of Israel. It has always been possible to steal the hearts of the people through empty promises and a concern for justice. Absalom became a very good spiritual imposter, even deceiving his own father. We must remember that even the devil can quote scriptures. Mature Christians must always stay on the alert. It said even the devil can quote scriptures with the truth, like lesson, 2 Samuel 15:21. In whatever place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also your servant will be. This is Ishtar the Gittite, answered the king, much as Ruth had answered her mother-in-law many years before. By God's grace, faith can find a home in the unlikeliest of hearts. So this man wanted to be with King David. He said, even in life or death, wherever you go, even though you're on the run, don't know where you're going, know that your son Absalom is trying to kill you, a son against a father. He had a few faithful servants that really wanted to be with him regardless. And that's totally amazing. Totally amazing. It's just like Ruth said, your God will be my God. When you die, I'll die. And this is what this servant is saying to David. I'm faithful to you. And no matter where you run to, don't know where you're running, I'm going to run with you. So amazing to have faithful people. You have some people that no matter what goes on in your life, they're still going to be faithful people to you. They faithful to God and they faithful to you. Okay, I'm going to read chapter 16. When David was a little past the top of the mountain, there was Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, who met him with a couple of settled donkeys, and on them 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisin, 100 summer fruit, can of wine. King said to Ziba, what do you mean to do with these? So Ziba said, the donkeys are for the king's household to ride on. the bread, some of fruit for the young men to eat, wine for those who are faint, and the wilderness to drink. So Ziba, he was with the king too. He had faithful people that Absalom hadn't stole their heart, that were faithful to the king regardless of what Absalom was trying to do to his father. Son against father. He wanted to kill King David and reign king. He wanted to be king. And he was going to do it if God had allowed that. But as you continue to read the story of David and Solomon, you'll know that God was still with David. He didn't allow it. And the king said, so Ziba said, the donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, and the wine for those who are faint in the wilderness to drink. Then the king said, and where is your master's son? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he's staying in Jerusalem. For he said, today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me. King said to Ziba, here all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours. And Ziba said, I humbly bow before you that I might find favor in your sight, my lord, O king. Now when King David came to Ziba, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, coming from there. He came out cursing continually at the king, and he threw stones at David and all the servants of the king. You know, that's something. Now, he had problems with his son, and this man, as he was riding, he threw stones at the king. He acted like David was not even the king. David and all the servants of the king, David and all the people and all the mighty men, was on his right hand and on his left. So Shimei said this when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man. And this Shimei, he didn't know this. He was just cursing David. Regardless, David is still the anointed one of the Lord. And Solomon wasn't king. Then Abishai, the son of Zuba, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? See, David is still the king. Please let me go over and take off his head. King said, what have I to do with you, you son of Zuba? So let him curse. Because the Lord has said to him, curse David? Who then shall say, why have you done so? But God, if you read on in the story, God hadn't told this man to curse David. David said to Abishai and all his servants, see how my son who came from my own body seeks my life. I mean, this would make anybody cry and be unhappy that your own son who came from his own body was trying to kill him so he could take over the kingdom. He wanted to be the king and take over. I mean, David was just so unhappy. And he was running from his son so he could live. How much more now may this Benjamite? Let him alone. Let him curse. For so the Lord have ordered him. It may be his Lord will look on my affliction, and the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went. He threw stones at him, kicked up dust. Now the king and all the people who were with him became worried, so they refreshed themselves there. Meanwhile, Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem. Ahithophel was with him, and so it was. When Hishael, the archetype, David's friend, came to Absalom, that Hishael said to Absalom, long live the king, long live the king. So Absalom said to Hishael, is this your loyalty to your friend? Why did you not go with your friend? And Hishael said to Absalom, no, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his I will be, and with him I will remain. Furthermore, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son as I have stirred in your Father's presence, so will I be in your presence. It seems that Hishel, he was loyal to David, and David told him to go back and do this, stay in the presence of my son. Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, give advice as to what we should do. And Ahithophel said to Absalom, go into your father's concubine, whom he has left to keep the house. All Israel will hear that you are a horn by your father. Then the hands of all who are with you will be strong. So they pitched the tents for Absalom on top of the house. Absalom went in to his father's concubine in the sight of all Israel. Well, you know, a concubine is like a wife, and she belongs to David. So what he's saying is, I'm sleeping, father, I'm sleeping David, with one of your wives. And he did this in the sight of all Israel. Now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, whereas if one had inquired as the article of God. So were all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. I mean, this story is really something when you think about it. And as you read on in the story and continue to read, God is still with David. He's not with Absalom. And you're going to find that out, that God was faithful to his anointed person, David. He anointed David when David was just a shepherd boy. And Absalom craved and desired the kingdom. But this still is a judgment. God had already told David a long time ago that because of what you did with Bathsheba, it goes way back. Because of what you did with Bathsheba, the sword will never depart from your house. So this is something else that's going on. Like when Tamar was raped, a whole lot of stuff is going on because of David. God forgave David for what he did with Bathsheba, but he told him the sword will never leave your house. So this is another judgment. It's amazing.
God told David what he did with Bathsheba in the dark, that it would happen in the light, in these concubines and everything going on. It's also a continuation from his sin with Bathsheba. So David is getting hit every which direction. But, you know, I want to go back because our title this morning is Fight All Your Battles on Your Knees, you know, and for prayer changes things. But what God, Dr. Stanley, gave for a life principle this morning is fight all your battles on your knees and you win every time. And, you know, as we go into Second Samuel chapter 15, you know, I love what Dr. Stanley says. He says the term resistance movement describes situations in which oppressed people rise up against the oppressor. Resistant fighters take the stance, I'm not going to stand idly by and allow this evil to continue. I choose to resist the wrongs, whether I live or die. In resisting my oppressors, I will no longer live as I have been. Resistance in prayer is the biblical approach to confronting and overcoming the devil. Peter wrote, resist him steadfast in faith. In the faith. James echoed the teaching, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. James chapter Amen. 4, verse 7 and 8. Both Peter and James make clear that we are actively resisting evil thoughts or preserving our persevering prayers. We are actively resisting evil through our persevering prayers. And forgive the voice this morning. I'm having some issues with my bronchitis. But I tell you this, and I believe I'm going to be turning the whole thing back over to Mother this morning because I'm having some problems with my breathing. But I tell you, God is always in charge of everything. And how we get where we need to go is on our knees. I'm believing God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God said, you're going to do your part because that's what you said. That's what I gave you this morning. And he's giving me breath in my body as I speak right now. Says, what would you do if a weight began to press against you? That's what I was feeling just a minute ago. Attempted to push you off a position rightfully yours. Oh, God, how would you resist? You would lean into the weight and press back. The pressure you exert would equal or exceed the pressure exalted against you. Against you. That's a posture of resistance. I am resisting, hallelujah, the pressure. Enemy does Amen. Not like us doing what we do, Mother. He does not like the word of God going into the atmosphere, because this word goes all through the atmosphere, from the highways, byways, airways. This word goes out, and the enemy is mad. He's upset that we, every morning, get up and speak a word of God to this audience. You know, yes, the Saturday we do not, but I am reading even on Saturdays. We've got to understand that prayer changes all kind of things. We've got to get on our knees. We've got to stay on our knees. We've got to go into prayer. Prayer for the least to the greatest. We've got to pray in all of our nations, because the devil is busy with lies and deceit and alternative facts. He is not a God, but trying to guise it up as godly. God is not about killing children with weapons of destruction. But you would hear, if you hear somebody talk about it, it's all about their guns and God. But God is not in that mess when children are being slaughtered in schools. God is not in the mess. But God is giving those parents strength. God had already put a covering around each and every child who lost his life. They are with the Lord. So parents, to understand, God's got you. God's got your children. Suffer the little children to come unto me, and I will give them rest. God is giving our babies rest. And we have got to pray. Peter and James point to two key words at the heart of our ability to resist the devil. Through our prayer, submission to God, and faith. Submission to God saying, I can't, but you can. In our battlefield prayers, we must say, Lord, I can't defeat the devil on my own, but with you I can. This is the position the Apostle Paul took when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. James taught that submission occurs when we seek to develop a closer relationship to God. As we spend time with God, we get to know him better and discover how he wants us to overcome evil and experience blessings. We draw near to God through prayer and by spending time in his word. We draw near to God when we set aside time solely to listen to God and to wait upon him for direction and guidance. We draw near to God when we periodically shut ourselves away, closing off all other influences that might distract us from knowing him better. The better we know him, the more we see his awesome power, experience his vast love, learn from his wisdom, and grow in our faith. We come to an even greater realization. Yes, God can defeat the devil on my behalf. God will win in the conflict with the devil. Yes, God does not want me to be able to overcome my adversity and to live in victory in Christ Jesus. Faith is saying, God, I believe you will. In our battle to overcome the enemy, we might pray this way. I believe you will defeat the enemy and cause him to flee from me as I resist him and put my trust in you. Again and again, David made his declaration of faith to the Lord. Oh, my God, I trust in you. And we see it all through the Psalms from 25 to 143. We grow in faith by exercising it, by trusting God in situation after situation, circumstance after circumstance, relationship after relationship. We develop a personal history in which we obey God and he remains faithful in his loving care of us. It is impossible for you to resist the devil for very long if you do not believe that Christ Jesus through you can and will defeat the devil. Furthermore, you can remain firm in your faith only when you completely submit to God. In all areas of your life, when you do not submit an area to God, you are saying to him, I can handle this. I don't need your help. That precisely is the place the devil will attack you.
You know, God is just
God
good.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is, Mother. God is good. And it says in Dr. Stanley Bill's last paragraph, the good news is that God has given each of us, Mother, he's given you, he's given me, a measure of faith to develop. He gives us the ability to submit. Therefore, we are capable of resisting the devil through our prayers. Our prayers change things. Our prayer changes the atmosphere of your home. Our prayers change whatever it is you're going through. Prayer changes things. We got to learn to push. Pray until something happens. I'm believing God for some miracles in my life. I'm believing God for some miracles in my home. I'm believing God for miracles in general because I know God can and God will make a way out of no way. God will make the biggest mess into the cleanest location. Hallelujah. God will change your atmosphere. God will change your life. But you have got to push. You've got to pray until something happens. You've got to pray because prayer changes all kind of things. The battle is not our battle. The battle is the Lord, and he always wins. Hallelujah. Woo, I thought that I couldn't breathe, but God said something different. I know what God is doing right now in my life. I know that he has put the breath of life. I woke, you know, because I dreamed all kind of crazy. And I'm like, okay, God, when did I become a mercenary? And then I'm not understanding that in the word today, you know, when David talked, God, Dr. Stanley talked about those folks that are resistant fighters. I was a resistant fighter in my dreams. I was surely resisting something, and I was fighting. Hallelujah, but I do know that prayer changes all kind of things. Hallelujah, because God is fighting the battles for us today. And as we go into our psalm, David understands the same thing, and he is speaking to God. He is blessing God. He is calling out to God. Again, prayer, and David understood it. Chapter 66, Psalms, verses 8 through 15. Oh, bless our God, you people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. Ooh, like I said, you got to stay in your square. Ha! David's talking about staying in your square. You got to not be moved. I shall not be moved, Mother. Just like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I shall not be moved. We got to be planted firmly in our square. And it says, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved? For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aromas of rams. I will offer bulls with goats, Selah. David's like, I will sacrifice everything to you, God, because how many times have you brought me through? How many times have you brought me through the tribulation of evil men chasing after me? And we got to remember, he is a plotter. He is a schemer. He is his father's child, because David was a plotter and a schemer, and he did some dirt. But David repented. Absalom did not. David went to God. Absalom did not. David loved God enough to say, I messed up and I repent, Lord. Please forgive me. Though you slay me. Come on now. David did not play. He understood when he did wrong that you got to get up and make it right. Whereas Absalom was all about Absalom. He loved his sister and it broke him down. I think honestly Tamar's rape made Absalom a little crazy. This man, as we talk about mental health this month, I think that her rape by her brother, by their brother, made him a little mental ill. And he felt like, I should have protected my sister. I should have been there for her. She should not have gone through this. And then as our mind would play tricks and the enemy would come in, the enemy started talking to him. You know it's not your fault. You know it's your daddy's fault. You know your dad is the one that sent her over there to be raped. And you know it's your dad. And it's your dad that didn't, you know, take up for her. So, you know, honestly, the problem is not you, but killing him, because you should have killed him. Your dad should have actually killed him. But since he didn't, and you did the right thing. You know you did the right thing. And then you have, he sends all those minions of the devil to tell him, well, you know you did the right thing by getting rid of that sin in the camp. You know you did right, Absalom. Even though that other little voice is saying, you should have left it up to me. You took away what was mine to do. The battle is not yours, it's mine. So why did you do what you did? Because thou shalt not kill. I would have taken care of Ammon, but you chose to do my job. And so exile, come back in, start to plot. Plotting all along. He was strategic to give Absalom that. He had a strategic mind, planning all this time. For years, he planned and planted the seed of deceit until he could take over. But what is not yours is not yours. And the kingdom was not Absalom's. God did not choose him, and it was not going to stand. He was not meant to be king of Israel after David. So let's get back into the word this morning. And I love this. It says, you have refined us as silver is refined. God tests every believer both to reveal the character of his or her heart and to lead him or her into a deeper relationship with himself. We tend to learn more in the valley than on the mountaintop. Hallelujah. Yes, we do. I have gone through my valley. And I've been on the mountaintop, but you learn a whole lot when you're in the valleys, and you learn that God will provide. And it goes on to tell us in Proverbs 16, verses 27 through 30, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. Oh, what a word, a today word. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisper separates the best of friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. He winks his eye to devise perverse things. He purses his lips and brings about evil. Wow, what a word. And it says this in John chapter 7, verses 1 through 27. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. He did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacle was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. And that's sad. That his own brothers did not believe in him while he lived. But they became his greatest disciples after death. You know, and honestly, because they were not told his specialness. They were not told who he was as children. Children get, they absorb, they get all of that information. And I was so happy to hear that when my little girl who moved away was in her new church, and they were asking questions, biblical questions, in her class, and she was getting every one of them. And finally, the pastor wanted to know, how does she know all this stuff? And she said, I learned it in children's church at my old church. You know, the word of God, go forth. And we got to pour into our children, even as little people, the word of God. Who is David? Who is Goliath? Who is Daniel? Who is the three Hebrew boys? We got to speak those things. What is the 23rd Psalm? How do you say the Lord's Prayer? I remember when they were little, with some of my other children, they learned the Lord's Prayer. And we learned it one way in church, which was not what was in the Bible. We did not learn it the correct way. We learned it the wrong way when it comes to debt and debtor. We didn't say that. We asked to be forgiven our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. Which is actually in the 14th verse of Matthew chapter 6. And we got to understand that the children learn that. I had one child tell their parent, that's not right. And the parent looking at them crazy. And it's not that. It's forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. You know, with attitude. I was like, okay. As I politely walked out, because I was like, oh man, these parents are going to get me. But then when the child can show them in the word of God, this is what God's word say, it changes the atmosphere. So we got to remember that. You know, just because somebody teaches you something, you got to go to the word and check it out yourself. And it says, and then Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. When he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast openly, but as if it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said, he is good. Others said, no, on the contrary, he deceived the people. However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but he who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. Come on, Jesus. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true. And no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keep the law? Why do you seek to kill me? The people answered and said, you have a demon who is seeking to kill you. Jesus answered and said to them, I did one work, and you are all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the Father. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath, if a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken. Are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Come on now. He said, you can circumcise on the Sabbath, but I can't make a man well. And he goes on to tell him, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Now, some of them from Jerusalem said, is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from. But when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from. You know, and they're like, well, he's a Galilean, so I know where he's from. Yeah, that's Joseph's kid. I don't know why he up here talking about like he's the son of God. I know who he is. I don't care what he's saying. I don't care because I know that's the carpenter's kid. But you don't know his story. You don't know that there was a star that appeared on the night that he was born. You don't know that wise men traveled as far as that star carried them, even years, to see this child. That these wise men gave him riches. That this family went to Egypt because they were protecting him from Herod. You don't know his story, so you make assumptions about the carpenter's kid. We got to understand that everything is for a purpose and a reason. And God knows the whole story of all of our lives because every day he is writing our stories. John 7:5, even his brothers did not believe in him. Jesus' younger brothers had grown up with him in Nazareth. And while they might have heard about Jesus' extraordinary birth, they did not believe until after the resurrection. Only then he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. The best way to understand the word of God is to decide to obey it. Whatever it says, we put ourselves in great spiritual danger by trying to understand the Bible without first committing to obey God. Luke 12:47-48. But as we finished up this word this morning, I just say, we got to learn how to fight on our knees. We got to learn how to give it over to God. Whatever your situation, pray and pray until something happens. We got to learn how to push family. We got to learn how to give it over to God. And this morning, before we go any further with our prayer, a word from Sister Carolyn. Good morning, no matter how things look right now. Know that God is still in control of our life. Stay in peace and believe that he will always be with you in all situations. Have a motivated Monday, all up in the lesson this morning. No matter how things look right now, your son is taking over you and you're having to flee like you did way back when from Saul. Know that God is still in control of our life. Even as Shimei cussed him out, called him all kind of names, David did not go and get him killed. David just ignored him. Stay in peace. David stayed in peace. And always that he will always be with you. David knew that God had never left him. He continued to pray and he continued to push. Hallelujah. Always be with you in all situations. Even when you got to flee your kingdom, God is with you. Even when you're running from your adversary, Saul and then Absalom, God is with you. Whatever you need, God will provide. And he did. And unfortunately, David lost his way there for a little while. But God brought him back. We all lose our way. We lose our way because there's different folks. David had a Bathsheba. We don't know what ours may be. It may be alcohol, or it may be drugs. It may be promiscuity. It may be fornication. It may be pornography, whatever the situation is. God will bring you back. Why? Because you are his. He is yours, and he loves you. And the battle is not yours. It is God's. Hallelujah. As I go to our prayer, Mother Valerie, put in your heart.
You know, David left the city and he was crying. I mean, I think it really hurt. I know it hurt him, and he was shocked. He said, "See how my son who came from my own body seeks my life." That's just like, he raised this boy, and that's just like you raising your own children, and they turn against you and try to kill you. That's a shock, and he was crying because he loved Absalom. He loved him so, and as you read later on about Absalom and David, you're going to see how he was sobbing over Absalom. He loved his son, and his son was trying to take his own life and his kingdom. I mean, that's bad trouble in your own household when your own kid is trying to kill you. And he says, "See,
but again,
how
Absalom
came from my
Absalom
own body, not white."
Yeah.
And that was mad at him. I know, and he
Absalom
was crying.
Was
he was weeping. The people that were with him, they were weeping as they left the city. I mean, he was doing some of everything to God's anointed. And you're going to find that out later on in the story, how much he loved Absalom. Absalom, my son Absalom. He was crazy about Absalom. And it hurt him so much, as it would hurt us. I have only one daughter. Name is Valerie II. And then she was trying to take my life. The things that you do for your children, how you help your children, and then they turn against you? I mean, that's a lot, but it happened. It happened right here with David and Absalom. It's amazing. But God is God. God, David did. He repented of everything that he had did. When Samuel came to him, he said, "Yes, I'm the one." And he didn't go to the phone. He went to the throne. He went to God and asked God. He said, "I've sinned this sin. Not against anybody else, God, but against you have I sinned against you." So he went to God and asked God
Nathan the prophet, when he came to David and told him about the man with the ewe, Nathan, he gave him a parable, like Jesus always spoke in parables. Nathan gave a parable to David, and David got mad. He's ready to go get that farmer. He looked at him and said, "Is you, because he took everything from Uriah, including his life. He took his wife first. Then he took his life. All the things."
And the reason
Charlie was there.
He took his wife because he was in the wrong place watching Bathsheba take a bath, and when he should have been out there with the men fighting, but he saw her and he desired her. And like you say, and we both have different opinions. I said that she didn't have to sleep with him. And you said that women during that time obeyed what the king told them to do, even if it's wrong. But I thought
right.
that she really
again,
didn't.
But again, I said that
she was a married woman, and she
also,
knew she was married.
She could have easily said, because David still was God's person. He still understood and loved God. What she could have said was, please, King, don't do this. I'm a married woman. My husband fights for you. You know, so there's something she could have said. But as far as just saying outright, no, I'm not going to do this and that and that, no, she didn't have that choice. And, you know, I'm not sure Bathsheba was the Biden tool in the drawer either. But that's not here or there. But I do have this word for this morning before we get out of here. And it says, honored. If anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those in his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And Absalom was mad at David because he did not provide protection for his sister. That is where all of this stuff started, was with the rape sister by his brother. And then he took it further and murdered him. 2 years. Think about it. He plotted 2 years before he killed Amon. Amon thinking all is good. Absalom did not forget because it sent his sister into mental illness. And how many other folks do we know out there we talk about that are mentally ill, that you don't know that something like this may have happened to them? And then it goes on to tell us in this prayer, God, over all, nothing escapes your sight. Nothing is hidden from you. Even those who make deals in secret are seen by you. You take care of those who are yours, and you expect the same for those who follow you. May my life line up with the values of your kingdom. Otherwise, my faith is only a claim. It doesn't mean anything if I speak words without action to back them up. You honor those who uphold your law of love. It's not practiced in the home. It isn't worth much out in the streets. Come on now. If it's not practiced at home, it's not worth much in the streets. Lord, may I be consistent in the ways I serve you both at home and outside. You see everything that I would like you to overlook, but that's not how you work. But give me the grace to live with integrity and honor, all for your glory and for the benefit of those I love. How do you honor the Lord with your family or close friends? You know, we got to honor God in everything we do because God is in charge of it all. When God comes forth, God wants us to come forth. We got to pray because the battle is God. And as Sister Carolyn, again, so eloquently put it, no matter how things look right now, know that God is still in control of our life. Take peace and believe that he will always be with you in all situations. Have a motivated Monday. And Mother, as you were, in your scripture this morning. That's what David did. David went to God. He took it to the Lord. He took it to the Lord. And, you know, as you were also reading, Ziba, David's servant, Mephibosheth's servant. Remember, Ziba had all of his sons. And Ziba, basically, right here is where he plotted to take everything from Mephibosheth. And that is so sad because he had always had it. Mephibosheth living in Lodabar on the kindness of others, and Ziba had all his stuff, and Ziba plotted to get it all back. So let's understand, Ziba wasn't honorable. He did some stuff too. But, you know, again, we got to pray. We got to trust God. Know that everything works for good. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, Mother, thank you so much for everything. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for co-hosting and starting us out this morning. Because we all understand if you take nothing from this blog this morning, from this show, remember, fight all your battles on your knees. Prayer changes all kinds of things. Trust in the Lord this morning. Trust in the Lord tomorrow morning. Trust in the Lord every day of your life. Give whatever your situations are, give it to God and watch him work. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and yours. Mother and I, we lift you up over you and bless you. In the name of Christ Jesus. Family, Mother, it's a wrap because I got to go to work. Love you all. Have a great and blessed day.
I want to tell you, I want to say something about Absalom. Absalom killed his brother. Anybody that had something to do with the life of Tamar, with her being raped, so he went after David because he felt David sent sent this man into set Tabor up to be raped. So he went after his brother and he went after his father. Anybody that had anything to do with Tamar's rape, he wanted to get rid of them. He really did.
Absolutely.
So that's why he went after his father. That's why I believe he went after his dad, too. Killed his brother,
but
went
remember,
after his father.
His sneaky snake of a cousin, he didn't get his. Because he was the one that instigated the whole thing. But he just slithered in to Amon and then slithered into Esalon. Just a sneaky snake sliding in, creating confusion. But the bottom line is, vengeance is God. The battle is the Lord. Absalom didn't learn that from his father. That was the one thing he did not take from David, was a love for God. Everything Absalom did, he did for himself, and he never repented. If you look through, he never repented. Never once did he repent for anything, because in his mind, everything he did was right. So we got to be very careful that we don't think that everything we do is right. We say, I'm sorry, and to repent. Because David's repentance is what kept God on his side. He was a friend of God, and God called him to him. Wow, what a word today. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much again for joining us. Have a great and wonderful day, and know that God has got you covered. And remember, take all your battles to the Lord. He got you. He got his mother. Can you stay with me?
It's a wrap.
Have a good day.
It is a wrap.